I really do feel like an empty bucket today, so you can carry this one, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I've carried the last five.
Okay. Sure. Let's play back the last five right now. Give those a listen. See if your facts...
See who's carrying it?
Pan out.
Uh-huh.
All right.
That's the thing. That's the great thing about podcasts, though, is that they just go into the ether and you never can be proved wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right, Jack and Jill, let's go up this hill.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
You are.
Yeah, and Merry,
that's a fact.
Merry Christmas, Dave.
Well, thank you.
I was thinking what we should do is we should just record our Christmas episode now, so when the holidays come up, we can relax and just rerun this one.
We can just... That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what did you get for Christmas this year?
Oh, let me tell you. I got the new iPhone 9.
iPhone 9?
Right.
It's a German model.
Right. It's a suppository.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's very okay. Sleek. Mm-hmm. It's easy.
I hope so.
It's really easy to install. The charger is a little tough on
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to really aim that sucker right okay. or you're in for a rough ride.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Internally, it lets me know when I've got to go to the bathroom.
Glad that Apple's getting back to the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
They're getting to the bottom of things.
Yep. Well played. So what did you get for Christmas?
I got a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit late for me, but it's for the podcast that we did, we just finished a little while back. I wish I could think of completely kangaroos. No, I can't even think of a podcast that would be good for us to do.
That was our Australian podcast, Australian, completely kangaroos.
Yeah, it's all about Australia. It's
really disappointing because I know that come December, which is when this is, obviously, I will be getting ready for a trip in January to Australia. I'm really sorry that we didn't wait on that podcast so that I could actually go there and bring you back some information about Australia.
And you could have used it as a tax write-off, too, for, you know, like, because you're using it going on a business trip, essentially. You're going there to research.
If only I could go back in time to, say, June and warn my past self to do that. To not do completely kangaroos.
Because it's more than just a personal trip. That's the...
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What?
That was the worst one we've ever done. Yep. You know what? I'm going to go back in time and warn myself in June. To not let you do that joke. Dave, I'm going back in time now to June. Bye.
Bye, Dave. I'm in the time tunnel.
He's spinning around in the time tunnel, everyone. I can attest to this.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Happy June.
What? So don't look at that person standing beside you because it's going to cause a complete time. Sure. Oh, my God.
Boy, what day is it?
It's June. I don't know what it is, actually.
Oh, I know, because my birthday is coming up.
Oh.
By the way, everybody.
Do you have a countdown going on?
My birthday is June 8th.
Oh, okay.
So if you're listening to this before then, you still have time to get me a nice gift.
Oh, thanks for the hint. And that I didn't actually pay attention to because I'm socially awkward. But do you do a birthday week?
What?
Do you do a birthday week?
I have no idea what that is.
You have a week around your birthday where you
get... you feel weak because you're older?
No. Where you get to, like, have, you know, do stuff. You can be like, let's go to a movie. It's my birthday week. And people go, they have to say yeah.
Okay, let me flip this because obviously I don't. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah, we do that for everyone in our
what?
Family.
What? Yeah. You have an actual birthday full week?
Yeah.
Look, man, let me tell you about my family. All right, here's what happens in my family on birthdays.
This is our family. I'm not talking about my old family.
No, let me tell you about my old family.
Okay.
Here's what we do in my old family.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah, got a whole bupkis.
I would get a gift, but there wasn't...
Oh, I wouldn't get a gift.
Oh, that sucks.
No, pretty much they just decided that was a no fly. Like after about age 12, I'd get a cake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was usually like a... Here's the thing. I would get a sailboat cake.
Nice.
Because it's easy to do. You take the square cake, you cut it, you can make sails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My sister who's a little younger than me, would get your Garfield cake.
Okay.
That's what you'd get. Now, my sailboat cake, the portholes would be made of Lifesavers, peppermint. Very nice.
That's probably recommended by the Betty Crocker book that it was taken out of.
Sure, the whole Crocker recipe.
Because I can actually picture the page showing you how to do that.
Pretty
from
much.
Reading the Betty
Absolutely,
Crocker
yeah.
cookbook. Yeah.
And then after about 12, it was, you're on your own, Dutch. It's just like, that was pretty much it. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
My mom made an elephant cake.
Oh, and you never forget.
I never forgot it. It's true. I just brought it up.
With real ivory.
Yeah.
Soap.
Yeah. real ivory. And then
that would be actually fun. If you just carve some tusks out of ivory soap, sure, and you just put it in
sounds
there.
Sounds delicious.
That'd be a fun joke. Sounds delicious. I think it's marzipan.
And then inside, you know, like normally you get coins.
No, you don't normally get coins.
We
but
got
go ahead.
Peanuts.
Okay,
in the cake.
All right, that's also good. But what do you mean you get coins?
You never had like coins wrapped in wax paper and shoved into the cake? So when you're eating it,
you break your
you
teeth.
You would find no. You would not break your teeth. You would not break your teeth. But you would find those, coins in the cake.
Are those coins red hot from being in an oven?
No, you do it after you're done. Like you put them in after before you ice it. You push coins into various parts of the cake.
Oh, so you don't put the coins in the batter?
No,
with the coins.
Because they would all sink
it
to the bottom of it, which would be weird and not very tasty.
Okay.
No, you put them in after you've baked it, and then you never done that?
No.
Oh.
No.
We at church.
We valued our teeth when I was young.
For Epiphany, we have a cake. We have an Epiphany cake.
Okay.
And inside the cake are three loonies, $3 coins. Mm. And those are the gold coins for the wise men. And then there's one nut.
And that's you.
That's Herod.
Oh.
And if you get the nut, then you are Herod. But if you get the gold coin, then you're a wise man.
Okay, well, what's the problem with being Herod?
He's a jerk.
Because he was trying to kill babies?
Slaughtered the innocents.
That's more than being a nut.
And
But
the nut, I mean, what are you going to put in there? Strychnine? It's just for fun. You don't really want to.
It's just fun remembering the guy that killed all the babies. We're just doing that for fun.
You don't kill the person who's Herod. It's just a fun thing. It's a game you're playing.
And the nut is Hitler.
Sheesh. Well, I mean, time has passed a little bit. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. You go from being, you know, just one of the most horrific characters in the Bible to where are you in 2015? You're a nut.
But it's a nut. It doesn't mean he is a nut. It means you get the nut that shows that you're Herod.
And then what do you do? What do you do to Herod?
Were wise men gold coins?
Who feels bad about...
I don't know. There's some kind of tradition. I can't remember what it is. Because we never do that part of it. Because it's probably too...
Them up?
Yeah. They're a scapegoat. We chase them around with sticks.
Do they have
to
take some
them.
Jelly babies and just bite their heads off?
That's right. That's what they're expected to do. Slaughter the innocents.
Just a whole... You got a whole bag of jelly babies that you have
What are
to
jelly
eat.
Babies?
What are jelly babies? Yeah. They're like made of gelatin.
Aren't these jelly beans? Like a name for jelly beans from England?
No, there's a specific candy that's
and they're shaped like babies.
Yeah. Are you not familiar with this? You're a huge Doctor
Who
fan.
Weird. No, I knew he gave jelly babies, but I never saw them. Like, they never showed them. They didn't have a close-up of them.
Yeah, they look like a baby. Well, I'm going to have to look this up
weird.
For you right now and show you a picture of them. Huh. Yes, indeed. They look like babies. Well, you're a fan of your Maynard's various Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, I love those.
Well, basically, this is the grandfather
the
of your...
kids is fine, but eating babies, that seems terrible.
Is that right?
These are sour kids. Like they're bad. They're like bad apples.
Oh, you're eating the Sour Patch Kids because they're bad.
They're not Sour Patch. They're just Sour Kids. Are they Sour Patch Kids? I think you're getting Cabbage Patch Kids mixed up with Sour Kids.
I think
kids.
There's also a Sour Patch Kids.
Why
oh
are
my.
They patch?
Why are you
like,
asking
what's the
me?
Patch? But why would
Dave,
they patch?
Dave, why are we fighting in front of company? Dave, it's my birthday week. You've got to be nice to me.
Oh, that's right.
What
I'm
are you
sorry.
Doing?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All of a sudden, I feel like there's a...
You don't do birthday week. That's too bad. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, what would be something you would do on your birthday week?
Because you can, you know, I'm not going to say you get away with a lot, because that's...
Sounds like you do.
That's ridiculous, but, you get some things your own way, you know? Like, you get some dinners you like during the week, you know?
Okay, I'm going to show you that's a picture fair. Of a jelly baby.
Okay.
There, this see? They look great. Like little babies.
This is great. This is horrifying! Oh, my God!
That's a jelly baby.
Oh, they actually look like little Ukrainian peasant women thingies, those little...
Yeah,
dolls
one day
go inside each other.
One day they'll stacking dolls. Yeah,
stacking
one day
dolls.
They'll grow up
nestling
to be
dolls. Nestling dolls.
Really. Yeah, one day they'll grow up to be peasant women.
Oh,
but for now they're jelly babies.
They won't though, because they'll be eaten by someone.
Yeah.
And what flavor are they? Are they taste like jelly beans, or they taste more like a soft, like a jujube?
I can't believe you've never tried these. You're a Doctor Who fan. How have you never had the curiosity?
I don't
of
live
what
in,
does he?
I don't live in England, so.
No, but you live in a place. Oh, you live in Canada. Yeah. You've got access to British foods.
I guess that's true.
Oh, my stars. Okay, listen.
I have to explore the universe more.
Look, I'm going to...
When it's my birthday week, I will request those.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to try and find you some jelly babies, before then, and we'll see what we can do. That is a shock to me.
Why?
Why? Because, again...
I am a Doctor Who fan.
You are a Doctor Who fan.
I am specifically a Tom Baker Doctor Who fan.
I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan, and I've looked out, I've found jelly babies just because of that. I was like, I wonder what they're like. So I tried them, and you know what? Disappointing.
I always assume they're just jelly beans. That's like another name for jelly beans.
They are not jelly beans. No. They're softer than jelly beans. They don't have that hard jelly bean outer
Maybe
shell.
That was the problem for the Beatles, because George said he liked jelly babies. And then when they came to America, they'd be pelted by jelly beans.
Oh, it's much softer to have a jelly baby hit you in the face.
Yeah. So that was probably an issue for them. They probably should have, what he should have said is, I like marshmallows. That would have been best of all.
Those are very hard to throw.
That's even better for the Beatles.
You can't throw. Yeah. I feel sorry for like I went to see a Bare Naked Ladies concert. They throw mac and cheese at them in boxes. Eey. That's unpleasant. Those sharp sharp edges on the side hit them in the head. And but though they did at one point just tear it open and just eat some raw macaroni because they're badass. Take that, Ozzy Osbourne.
We'll show you.
Yeah. Ah, I was like, that's good.
Did they open it with their teeth?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, they're badass. Yeah. They're Canadian. They'll open it with their teeth.
Sure. They're like Wolverine.
Yeah. Anyway, more about my birthday.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
June 8th.
Yep, June 8th.
And that is...
I was born in 1967. I'm a centennial baby.
So is that next Wednesday?
Next Monday.
Next Monday. Oh, my math is so good. I can't believe I didn't get that right.
Well, Dave, you're a year older than me, so, you know.
I am a year older than you. I am a year older. I was actually at my brother-in-law's birthday yesterday. He turned 5-0. He turned 50.
How did he take it?
He seemed to be...
I'm curious at how I'm going to take it, so you tell me how he took it.
You know how you're going to take it? You're going to take it like a man.
Don't really have a choice.
No,
exactly. Unless I make a change. You know, it's possible. Nowadays you can. It's fine. You know, go at it. Oh, okay. You know, whatever you want
to
be.
If you can get it done in that amount of time, I guess. You have a window to opt
in. Yeah, I don't have enough time to do it. You're right. Fair enough. If only I could go back in time I've used up my one time wish.
For that, just to come back and warn you about a pun.
And I've forgotten what I was going to warn you about.
It was about saying personal.
How do you know? Did you use a time wish as well? Am I talking to future Dave? Because that negates the point of the time wish. Oh, this is the worst birthday week I've ever had. Boo on that.
I can't believe you wouldn't do a birthday. I mean, once you hear about birthday week, don't you want to take advantage of that idea?
Well, I know my sister-in-law, Vicky, she's very good at taking advantage of her birthday. I remember one year she just went to all these different businesses and went, you got any birthday deals? And a lot of them went, I guess so. Yeah, I'll give you a free this. I'll take that. And so she got like free rentals at movie places and stuff. This is back when they had movie rentals, which was 2 years ago.
Things change so fast.
Right. But yeah, they have like free movies at the Tinseltown Movie Theater down here. But you got to go Thursday. That's the only free day for you, Jack.
Yeah.
So I got to plan it accordingly.
I know Red Robin does something, the hamburger place.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to mention that last time we went there on my birthday. I'm good with birthday week. I'm not good at like getting birthday junk. Like I'm not that forward, as you know.
Speaking of free things, my wife and I.
Willie.
What?
Willie.
Free Willie?
Yeah.
That didn't work out great, it turns out.
Okay.
My wife and I did the Vancouver Tourism Challenge.
Okay.
She is a volunteer in town. And so she gets to be part of it. And so what you do is you go and you have to fill out this passport thing where you go to different museums or whatever. And if you fill out enough of these things, you get like 15 stamps. Then you get to go free for the rest of the year to all these places.
Which you've already gone to. And
we talked about last time. Yeah. So it's now I've got to, I feel obligated maybe next week to go to a bunch of free stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to go do that.
That's for your birthday.
Yeah. I mean, I like this whole birthday week business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so next week will be my birthday week, so we're going to be recording two podcasts then.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I can't wait to see what you do for my birthday week. Like I was going, well, Dave's going to miss my birthday because, you know, we won't be seeing each other on Monday.
Yeah.
But since it's a birthday week, oh boy. Oh, man, this is going to be great.
Sky's the limit.
And remember, next week I'll let you know what Dave does for it because clearly he will be doing something for it.
Yeah. There's, here's.
Yippee.
Here's the thing. Is
Uh-oh, that's never good. Nothing ever good starts with here's the thing. No, it's never true. Here's the thing. I'm offering you a raise. Never. Right. Here's the thing, says your doctor. You've got two options.
Here's the thing.
Oh no.
I don't do well with birthday stuff.
Okay.
I'm terrible about that. Like I'm just bad at it.
Are you good at Christmas? Because that's a birthday thing.
Christmas I'm better. I'm better that's at a Christmas. Birthday for I'm better at Christmas than I am at birthdays.
Okay. Are you better for Christmas or Easter?
Christmas.
There you go. Then you're better at birthday things than you are at death and resurrection things.
Yes, that's true. I am better at, well, I just don't have a lot of experience with death and resurrection. It's never happened to me.
Okay.
But I have had a birthday.
Mm-hmm. And you've done that weird,
putting a peanut in a cake.
And then the person who's allergic to peanuts.
I will eat so much cake looking for those coins. It's not even funny.
Is that right?
Yeah. Just to get one coin.
Do you get like a present or something? Can you exchange coins for a present?
And usually I just put it back into the little the little plate, the little collection thing for snacks.
Wow. And everyone just rolls their eyes and go, that guy doesn't know how to spend a dollar.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
He just gave it back.
Yeah.
What a loser.
It's sort of like if someone...
all that cake.
If you saw someone like who won the lottery and like won a big lottery thing.
Yeah.
And they went like, I'm going to stay in my job and I'm going to give all this money to charity.
Mm.
You'd go, fuck you. You have betrayed the idea of the... Yeah, you would. You'd go, because listen...
Yeah, I would think that
the lottery is for a fantasy.
Why were you playing it?
Right. Well, because you want to give money to charity.
Oh, okay.
But you would say like, listen, we have there is a social contract here where you must live vicariously for the rest of us that not win. So
yeah,
we must now see you.
Sure.
At least say I'm quitting my job. I'm telling my boss to go to hell. Unless my boss is wonderful, in which case I'll go. See you, boss. I love you. But you got to quit your job and you got to go do something immediately fun and reckless that we can identify with and go like, you bought a car or you bought your parents a house or you do this, that, or some such. Yeah, don't go giving a bunch of money to charity because then you're a real asshole.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, don't spend it on yourself.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo you.
So what do you think about, we have two hockey players here in Vancouver.
We only have two?
Well, these
that must be very hard two, when they play.
It is a lot of work for them. The Sedin twins. They're
okay.
They're twins. They're named Sedin. And they when they signed their big contract, you know, when you play.
Would they get paid the same?
Yeah, they did, actually.
That'd be weird if they didn't.
That would be really unfair.
No, it's not unfair. It would just be weird.
No, it would be unfair. And so they signed their big contract. They signed, like, you know, big money, like $7 million a year.
Okay.
That's big money, right? For a few years.
It's big money if there's no whammies, yeah.
It's big money if what, sorry?
Big money if there's no whammies.
What are whammies?
Other people out there get the joke. It's okay, everybody. Big money, no whammies. You get it? Press your luck, the game show? Dave doesn't know it. He doesn't know Jelly Babies either. It's fine. Don't worry. Continue. It's okay. Enough people get the joke that it's fine.
So they got signed their big contract, and then they gave $1 million away.
That's fine.
To charity.
That's fine.
That's okay. You're okay with that?
Because it was like, well, how much was the contract? $7 million?
A year over 7 years. Or $7 million a year over some amount of time.
$7 million a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, give $1 million away, that's fine. You're
okay.
All right.
You're okay with that?
Yeah. Don't give more than half, though, or you're an asshole.
Is that right?
Unless here's the thing. Unless you're...
Because they're show-offs or because it's disappointing?
No. Because rich people...
Yeah.
The only reason we let rich people exist
is
because we hope one day to become rich people.
Yeah.
And so we want to be treated like you don't want to go burn them because one day then I can't have a dream of being a rich person because people are going to try to burn me.
Yeah.
So I've got to go, I will let you exist, rich person, and not immediately when you see Donald Trump run after him and tear him to shreds and take his wealth and distribute it amongst
his toupee.
That's right. You would not. You can't do that. So, but the deal we have is you must enjoy the money and let us see at least some of that, so that we can have hope that one day we will be rich as well. That's the only reason we let you exist, rich person.
That's
now,
true.
The only way around that is. If you're like Bill Gates or like Warren Buffett and you give away, like you've got too much money.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. We can't understand that amount of money. It makes no sense to us. It confuses us. It makes us angry. If you've got like $80 billion or something, we can't figure out how to spend that. It hurts our brain. But if you go like, look, I'm going to give $70 billion of this away. I'm still going to have $10 billion.
Yeah.
We go, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You're going to cure polio or whatever, or malaria, or you're going to give netting to all these people. Lovely. As long as you still get $10 billion, you've still got enough.
They're gonna buy $70 billion in netting.
That's right.
That's a lot of netting.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have enough money to
teaching them to fish.
Anything? Sure. Well, you know, you teach a person to fish.
That's it.
And you run out of fish. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Environment says to you. But yeah, then you get $10 billion. Everyone's cool with that. They're like, oh, I can still get anything I want. I'm fine with that. No problem.
Yeah.
You still allow me to live my fantasy. I'm cool with it.
Hmm.
So go ahead, Bill Gates. If Bill Gates gave away all his money except, say, $500,000, people get so mad. So mad at him.
Do you think he would do that?
No, he wouldn't because he knows people get mad. He knows human nature.
He doesn't want to get
in trouble. They come out, they kill him. They just kill him. Okay. No, he couldn't do it. No, so mad.
It's an interesting theory.
Yeah. It's the truth.
It's a theory.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's the truth.
All right. Then why don't you go get rich and then we'll see what happens.
I will. I'm endeavoring to do that.
And then you'll give it all away and everyone goes, boo, boo, Dave, we hate you.
I wouldn't give it away. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Wouldn't give it away. Give it away now.
I would not give it away at any time.
Okay. No. Say you
made.
Not
in a boat. Not with a goat.
Here's a question. You are making $7 million a year.
Okay.
How much do you feel comfortable giving to charity a year?
$7.
Baked into a cake. I'm going to bake 7 loonies into a cake and 1 peanut.
Yeah.
All right. So the one who gets the peanut is hunted for sport by the other 7.
Island.
And then the one person that wins and kills that person gets $1 million.
He gets $7.
That we call that the Dedrick Games.
How much would I feel comfortable giving away?
I don't know. 7 million. And this is like, let's get this above taxes. After you pay your taxes.
So I'm getting paid 7 million next year, right?
You're getting 7 million next year.
When's it stop?
Look. What do you mean?
When does the money run out?
No, rest of your life. $7 million a year. You win set for life. $7 million a year for the rest of your life. How much a year do you give to charity? Or to just other people that you know?
Or other people that I know.
You know that. I'll accept some of that. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I will accept. It's my birthday coming up. Whatever.
I'll remember that when I win. I don't know. I mean, it's not my money entirely.
How is it not my money? Why?
Because I'm married. So I share the money with someone else who also has a say in how much money we're giving away.
Okay.
But
I would say
like $1 million a year.
You give away $1 million a year?
Yeah.
So you give away exactly what the Sedins are giving away. You're following their example.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I guess.
There you go. All right, done.
That seems like a fair amount, right? Or is that too little?
You tell me. You're the millionaire.
It seems fair.
It seems fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know we're still keeping a lot of it, but.
What are you spending it on?
I don't know.
You got to know.
How much?
You got to know. What are you going to spend it on?
Well, we've talked about this before.
You can't win the money.
We all have our dreams of what we would do with our money if we won like lots of money.
And so mine is I would produce live shows and films. I would do that. I would waste my money on that stuff. Yeah.
I don't think it's a waste.
No, it wouldn't be. But that's where my money would
be
bled
out. You'd be like a medieval lord, a patron of the arts.
Yeah, I would be a medieval lord in that I'd be making movies. Like a medieval lord.
I just meant a patron of the arts. That you would be like, you know.
No, I wouldn't be a patron of the arts. I would be making this shit.
Oh, you would be the guy. You're not just giving away the money to other people to do
stuff. No, I'd be involved in some way. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
you'd want to stick your nose into it.
Absolutely. That's the whole point is that I want to create more stuff.
I mean, I'm with you there, but yeah, I mean, part of that kind of money is like for fun too, right?
Well, what would the fun be?
You know, like you can make a lot of cakes with coins in them, right? It's a lot of money to give away.
Are you going to put a lot of money in the cake?
I wouldn't just, because when I said $1 million, I didn't mean like I'm going to just give it to people. I meant I would bake that into a cake.
Right.
You know, like $1 million worth of coins and give them out as cakes as well.
Okay, that's a lot of cakes. That's probably going to cost you more than $1 million to make the
cakes. Well, no. The $1 million is rolled into the cake amount. Like, it's all budgeted.
Okay.
It's all a cake budget, giveaway money part of it.
I guess I have a theory that if you don't know what you want the money for, then probably you're not going to get the money because the money, or at least the money will mess you up when it comes, probably.
I can see that.
Yeah, okay. I know though you like, you know, you're of the, I'll take that chance.
Yes, I am.
You know, I'll opt for that.
I'd like to see.
Yep.
Is it going to mess you up? I don't know. Can it mess you up when you're our age? Does that make sense?
Ah, that's a good question.
Aren't you already kind of set in your ways? Like, can it really just freak you out? Am I going to start doing heroin?
No, here's what I think it is. It's like your fantasy when you want to win the money is that it's going to fix the problems that you have. Now, the question is, are the problems that you want to fix fixable with money? That's the big trick.
Yes.
You know, you can, are they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Sure.
Okay.
I can pay my daughters to love me then.
Sure. Like you could be a real king.
Give dad a kiss in the cheek.
That's
there you
right.
go. Here's $10.
Yeah. You could be a real King Lear about the whole thing.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You come up and go like, tell your father who loves father best.
That's right.
And then you only got $2. You got to need a third, so you got to bring one of the dogs in
I'll
on
have
it.
To bring
Al.
The dogs, yeah.
Bring Al in on it.
He can be Goneril.
Well, that's a good point, Al. I did adopt you when you were having a hard time, and I must be a wonderful man. All right, now, Millis, why do you love pop-up? Why are you going away? Why are you walking? Why are you laughing and walking? Why are you doing your own podcast called My Dad's an Ass? Why are you doing that?
Dad's an ass hat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, I do have plans, like what I would do with the money.
Yep.
But I have to admit that I'm not all that flamboyant in my thinking about it. Like we've talked about before, I mean, yes, I would do things that I want to do with my time. I would have 8 hours more of the day for myself, not, mm-hmm. you know, not given to someone else so they can make money off me. It'd be my time to do stuff.
Do you think you would feel comfortable enough taking those 8 hours for yourself? Or would you feel, I can't do that and I got to do other stuff for other people? Do you think that you'd be able to clear the 8 hours for yourself?
I wouldn't feel that way. Yeah. I wouldn't feel that way that I have to do. I mean, I could probably procrastinate 8 hours a day
mm-hmm.
and fill that time with all kinds of things that need to get done. But that's...
Wait, is procrastinating or filling it with things that need to get done? Because it seems like those are two very different things.
Those are two the same thing sometimes, you know? Like, it's funny, last weekend, I had a very busy Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy Saturday. I slept a long time. And then...
What's a long time for you?
I think I slept till 8:30.
All right. And when did you go to sleep?
Probably around 11:30.
Okay.
I went to bed early.
For you? For you, yes. Yeah. That is quite a long sleep. Okay.
Yeah. I usually sleep about 5 hours a day during the week.
1 hour more than Batman.
1 hour more than Batman. And usually by the time the weekend comes, I am done. So so then... but that weekend, I had to go and pick up Phyllis from her riding. Then we had to drive the horse back to the barn. And then we went home and I made lunch. And then Lisa came home and then we went out and got hay. So we drove over and we got some hay. And then we picked up 40 bales of hay. And what else did I have to do that day? Some other stupid things. It just seemed like the whole day was... And then I was just doing normal stuff like vacuuming and things like that, right? And then... Oh, and I went to Thunderbird to watch some jumping with Lisa as well. At this point, I hadn't done anything on Sneaky Dragon at all. Like, yeah. I hadn't done a damn thing. And we came home and I was like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, quickly vacuum this part and then I'm going to wash these clothes. And then Lisa said, you know what? You're putting off doing Sneaky Dragon. Like, you are totally procrastinating right now, I can tell. You need to get outside and finish Sneaky Dragon.
So all right, let's say that you've got... All right, let people know that
she's
you've
right.
Got,
I was...
Just, no, but let's make sure people know that you've got another building outside and they're not... Yeah. She's not just sending you
not just
into the backyard.
That's right. Go stand in the corner of the yard. Bad boy. Me and Elle outside.
I want in.
So...
You've got a studio that you do
I go outside to the studio. Because I like having that separate from the house. So it's like a determined thing to have to go outside. And once you're out there, you're kind of like, well, I guess I should work.
Yeah.
Can't just sit here and watch Strip Search all day. I could try.
Yeah. Strip Search, which is a web guilty. Series. Yeah.
Yeah. That you made me watch.
Sure. I didn't make
you. No, you made me watch it.
All right.
You made it sound enticing. And
We can talk about that later on. Go ahead.
So then I was procrastinating. I mean, I was doing useful things. I was doing things I needed to do.
Right.
You know, the dishes need to get washed. The floor needs to get vacuumed.
By the way, it sounds like things are haunted right now. It means downstairs. Yeah, it sounds like there's some art show going on in one of the side offices here at Hello Kitty Studios or below us. In case you hear Satan's voice right now talking to David.
I do hear Satan's voice.
All right. Please continue, though.
Kill Ian on his birthday week.
With kindness.
Kill him with kindness. I was both procrastinating and doing useful things, which is I've done my whole life.
Yeah. I never get more done than when I have to do something else. Then, boy, howdy, do I ever get a lot done.
Yeah. And it seems like...
Those windows are clean.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to do mindless tasks, like just do your dishes and vacuum, than have to go outside and think about, oh, my God, what am I going to do for a title card? Or
those weeds are out there and the script needs doing, so let's weed it up.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, these are tasks that have to get done, but, you know, you're still, so that's what I mean, you know, so I can probably, you know, instead of doing what I'm dreaming of doing with the money, I would be filling in my days with mindless petty tasks to avoid doing those things. And I would hate myself for doing it, but I could totally see myself doing
that. Though I am glad that you've got someone in your life that can spot your procrastination and go, get out, go on.
Yeah.
You know, you'll feel better after you do this. I got that with Pia. She'll be like, just go work on this. You'll feel better. Go draw something. You'll feel better. And like, yeah, okay, you're right. I will feel better after that. You get into your own. Ooh. Absolutely.
Well, I think maybe it was Sunday that this happened, actually. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think I was actually progressing to do the title card because I had tried to do it the day before and I just couldn't come up with something that made me happy. So at night I was like, I'm just going to sleep on it and... Something will come to me in my sleep and it'll be perfect, but it didn't happen that way.
Right.
So then I spent the day doing other stuff and then she's finally like, get outside, finish.
I was on Saturday, I did the Weird Al karaoke.
Oh yeah, that's right. How did that go?
It went really well, really well. But like the day before, I was quite frustrated.
Let's talk about what it is first.
Sure. Okay, what it is, I'm in a group of male strippers, and what we do is... No, wait, no, that's not it.
That's a different thing.
It's a different thing. What it is it's a local comedy show. What they do is much like
Weird... Strip Act, the birthday weaklings.
That's right, the birthday suits. What local comedians do is we do like Weird Al does. Take a popular song, you get a karaoke version of it, you sing your own funny lyrics to it. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun to do, but it's a lot of work. It's not as much work as rap battles where you have to memorize like a 3-minute rap, which is incredibly hard. But at least this one, you get the words.
Sure. You developed a whole new respect for Eminem from
and how but what I did was
already respected him there was a whole new respect
like that guy with the 8 Mile thing you got to respect at the end of that
yeah
I mean, respect he dropped a microphone
he did
respect
he
You know what? I got to thank him.
To be fair, he tripped and fell over and dropped
the microphone.
He
gave me the best day of my life, that guy. Yeah. And I got to thank him.
Yeah.
Anyway. So what I did was, I've only done this once before.
Yeah.
And I've got a system, and here's how my system works.
Okay.
I like in this case, I was going to sing a song about the SkyTrain.
Sure.
And so I was going to do it to,
SkyMall?
Cat Stevens, someone else has done that. Cat Stevens, Peace Train.
Okay.
Okay. So I get the lyrics for Peace Train off the internet.
Okay.
And I substitute my own lyrics perfectly for that.
Yeah.
Realizing the day before, like basically the day of, sorry.
So you hadn't heard the song, you just replaced the lyrics.
I had, oh, okay. You know, but then I do that first because I generally know how the song goes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start singing the song to the karaoke track and go like, this goes way longer. What the hell? And I realized that the lyrics I had were too short. They left off like a whole bunch of verses. And I'm like, well, I'm screwed because I can't write all new verse. But then I realized, so go short. Everyone loves it when you go short.
Yeah.
So I did that and it was fine.
Yeah.
But no, it was...
Did you drop the mic when you're done?
No, I did not. But it was nice because what I started with was years ago, like 1990, me and some friends of mine, they had a remake of Peace Train that I think the woman from 10,000 Maniacs did.
Okay.
And when she sang...
Natalie Merchant.
That's right. When she sang... Peace Train coming at you. She sounded like she said pee stain. So it was, so we like that, right? It was like pee stain getting wider. Oh God, it's a pee stain. Pee stain's coming closer. Watch out for the pee stain. So I was like, oh, great. I could rip off this old idea. And then I went like, there's not enough to do with this. And then I realized the last time I did a song was about a local mall called Kingsgate Mall.
Yeah.
Did it to Skyfall. I'm like, oh, this is another local thing I could do with this, the SkyTrain. And then halfway through, I could have a guy on the SkyTrain who's got a pee stain.
Yeah.
And by that point, it's fine. So it went quite well. It was very, very, very fun. So, but that was my whole day was rehearsing that. And I've had pee stain now in my head for days and... it was fun though. It is a whole day situation. You got to book a whole day off when you do that kind of thing. I'm usually like that when I do any stand-up shows too. It's very difficult to not like be thinking of that for the entire day.
Yeah.
You set in the evening.
Yeah. When I was listening to last week's show.
You listened to last week's show?
It was all right.
I didn't know you listened to this show.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
When I edit it, not. We were talking about tattoos and I realized... First thing I realized is how terrible I am at this show and that I didn't ask you what your tattoo. I always expect you're just going to like say it, so I don't need to ask you, but you didn't. So then I was curious. I was like, well, he asked me, why didn't he say what, if you were going to get a, like, have you ever wanted a tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
And what were you thinking of getting if that's the case?
The closest I ever came to getting a tattoo was when I got married. My wife and I were in Hawaii with a close family.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law, my sister, and Dale, and my mom were all going to get tattoos of turtles.
Okay.
Because we'd all been like, we all swam and we saw these turtles and
Teenage
we liked these
Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I was going to be whoever the female one was, Venus.
Is
Venus
there really?
De Milo. Yeah, well, there was for a brief period of time, Venus De Milo. And I went like, you're all ladies. You all get the Donatello, Michelangelo, Leonardo, and Raphael. Yeah. Oh, God, we all remember those, huh?
This is amazing.
I'm going to be the Venus De Milo. I mean, that's the old trick. It's like you've got to go, there's always a female member of the, who is the female member of DuckTales? There's the thing. Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Webbigail.
Webbigail.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Should have rhymed with Ooey in some way.
Yeah. Huey, Dewey, Louie, and... Is there one that rhymes with it?
You know what? If you give it some thought, I'm sure you would.
I'm giving it thought.
You should give it more thought.
Nothing's creeping into my mind.
Well, you know, I think you might just be procrastinating. Dave, get out into the yard and you think of a good rhyme for Baba Louie, something like that.
Baba Louie, yeah, that's good.
That's a unisex name, Baba Louie, right?
But sure. It already is a Louie, so you can have two Louies.
Fair enough.
Whether you put a Baba in front
of it or not. Guy, ride me like a horse.
Suey.
Suey? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, we thought about doing that, and then we didn't end up having the time for that, so we didn't do it.
Mm.
Now my wife is thinking of getting... Well, she's got an idea for one. I would probably get something semi-matching, but here's the thing. I don't know a part of my body that I'm proud enough of that I want to be showing people, right? Like, when you have someone show you the tattoo, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be on a bit of you that you're like, well, I'm very comfortable showing you my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy showing you my bicep. I'm happy showing you this part of my back. I don't know what part I'd be whipping out in public and feel comfortable with. And yet, it's so covered that I could look, you know, normal and undercover when I want to.
Yeah, I feel that's the hardest part of tattoos is if you do get it.
Yeah.
Like, say you got your arm done.
Yeah, but you work out. You got the guns in Navarone. Well, that's you could show them if you had to.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, if you did that, then you have to. Like, you can't just let yourself go after you get a tattoo.
Hmm.
Like, you've done this thing. You've done this show-offy thing on your arm.
Right.
You know, let's say, you know, my dream.
Good motivation.
My dream is to get the Popeye Dynamo.
Right.
That he gets after he eats spinach. I'm going to put that on my arm. Well, you know, so I put that on my arm, and then I decide I'm going to, you know, stop going to the gym. Well, that's not very impressive. Your skinny arm, you got this dynamo thing. What were you doing?
I'm sure there's a lot of old sailors that are like that, and I'm sure they look fine.
Well, old sailors, my uncle, who told me, and he was my fake uncle, but my friend's dad.
Your funkle, your fake uncle.
Yeah, fake uncle, funkle.
Funkle.
He was my friend's dad, and he had a tattoo.
Oh, it's your friend's uncle. Oh, your friend's.
He's my friend's dad. But you know what? Those days, you either were a mister or an uncle. You didn't call them by their first name.
That's right.
So, or their last name. That would just be weird.
No, it was respectful.
Yeah.
And that's why you never mentioned when they molested you. Out of respect. Out of different time. Respectful time.
Yeah.
Apparently. Now kids today got no respect. And they're all like, this person touched me there. Hey. How about a little respect?
Yeah. Snitches get stitches. So, he told dying over there. He told us, like, he showed us, he did have a Popeye anchor on his arm or something like that he got. He was in the Navy.
Right.
He was in the Canadian Navy. So there's some I don't know what you call it, some
free healthcare that came with it.
That's right. So it's okay. The peritonitis that he got from the thingy.
They took care of it.
So would you get peritonitis from a tattoo?
You get that
tattoo?
From a parrot.
You get it from a parrot. That was psittacosis. We learned that in Totally Tintin. Yeah, he got it. But it was just like a blob. By the time he'd reached the age he was at in his life, and it wasn't that old because we were little kids, but it was like just a blob. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the kind of tattoos you see nowadays where it's all really nice looking. It was just an ugly mess. That's the kind of tattoos the sailors got. They didn't get nice stuff.
Absolutely. And who cares? Because look, your arm's going to look like shit later anyway. So who cares, Mr. Vane? What's it matter? Enjoy it while you can.
Well, I guess that's
ba-boom.
It. I guess.
You know what I think I get? I get maybe like a Sudoku game on my arm. So when I'm bored, I could always whip out a little pen.
Yeah.
And then say, I don't want to go senile.
Yeah.
But say I do go senile.
Yeah.
I'll forget what it was. And then I could maybe a crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
And then the other arm is all the clues. And then I could just like always have a crossword puzzle with me. Say I go to prison.
Yeah.
I'd always have a crossword puzzle to do. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I guess that's fine. But, you know, you'd still, as you got older, it'd be a lot harder to see the clues and find where the squares are of the puzzle.
Yeah, that's true. But I always found like, I mean, recently I've seen a couple of people who have new tattoos.
Yeah.
And they're always on attractive parts of their body that you go like, I could see why you would want to direct attention there anyway.
Sure.
This is a good excuse. And also, what an excellent tattoo. That's the nice thing is like tattoo technology, it feels like, maybe not technology, but standards have raised so much that I see people's tattoos now and just like, geez.
You're like, holy cow.
That looks fantastic.
Well, there's two sides to that. I mean, you see like really nice ones.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that you see.
Right.
And then you see on the internet some really terrible ones.
Right. Well, you're going
that you're like, what? What?
I mean, tattoos are usually a drunken choice or often a drunken. I won't say always.
No.
But like often a drunken choice.
But it seems like they're proud of it after too. Like, okay, it's a drunken choice. But if you're showing off and you look sober and you're like lifting up your shirt or you're pulling your shirt down or whatever and showing off the fact that you put, you know, slut on your chest. Like, you know, what were you thinking?
You're thinking I'm a slut.
And also it's...
And I want to tell people.
And it's spelled salt. So that was even...
Oh, well, you like salt. Insult. Nothing wrong with that.
Add insult to injury.
You're adding slut to injury. Yeah, that's right.
In slut to injury.
Yeah, that's right. No, if someone wants to write the word slut on themselves, I'm not going to slut shame them. Good for them. Own it. Wear it. Have fun with it.
Is that a word, actually, slut shaming?
Slut shaming?
Yeah.
Absolutely it is. Yeah.
Wow.
That's when you...
Times have changed.
No. This is a huge thing. You've not heard of slut shaming.
No.
This isn't Jelly Babies. This is a big deal.
I said times have changed. You said no, they haven't. I would say in the past, people
I'm
would
saying
change.
Times haven't changed because this has been around for a while now.
Oh.
In that it's a big thing.
Okay.
It's basically like when someone, you know, online looks at someone and calls them a name. That is now, and it should be, heavily looked down upon. To slut shame somebody.
I see.
Yes, it's a way of degrading specifically, you know, women, obviously, and boo on it to people. Also, there's a little bit of me that just goes, what are you thinking, brother? What are you doing? Stop it. Knock it off.
Speaking of that, I saw...
Really?
What?
You've got a topic that matches what we were just talking about?
Well, it just...
You don't do segues smoothly. What's going on? You need to normally jam it in. Now we got to talk about rugby or something. What's going on? Okay, go ahead.
I went and saw...
Mr. Good Transitions
I went and saw Mad Max Fury Road. So you just kind of reminded me of that because that film, I didn't really pay much attention to it because I don't like reading about stuff about movies I want to see.
I saw the movie Sad Sacks. It's about the comic book character Sad Sack.
Yeah.
And his army adventures.
Okay.
It was very. I thought I was seeing Mad Max, and now I saw that.
It's a Sad Sack.
Yeah.
Why was it called Sad Sacks? Was it about him and his family?
Yeah, it was the whole Sacks.
The whole Sacks family.
Yeah.
Sad, Mad Sacks, Glad Sacks.
Yeah.
Fad Sacks, the trendy one.
Yeah, and Webigail.
Webigail and Suey.
Yeah.
Sweet. So I saw it, but that seemed like there was a lot of controversy about that film because apparently
they waste a lot of gas in this day and age.
In this day and age. Oh my gosh. And apparently it involved women.
Okay.
Women are in the film. I don't know if you noticed that. Did you see it? You saw it, right?
Yeah.
There are women in the film.
We were talking earlier today about it, and you were like, I think I don't want to spoil anything.
I'm not going to say very much about it. I'm just going to talk about that one little bit, which is that, you know, when you hear about it, you know, people are like, apparently women don't have a place in the Mad Max universe or something like that. Is that what this controversy was?
I'm not familiar with
this. Were people mad about this? Wasn't this like a thing for a while? People were like upset that there's strong female characters in a Mad Max movie?
I don't know. Please tell me more.
This is what I heard. I mean, and I'm talking like this is what I heard through osmosis because
I did not read a lot about it because I didn't want spoilers on it.
Yeah, me too. So, but I did hear about this that people were angry and upset about the fact that, you know, Charlize Theron is in it and she plays a strong character. But then I was like, well, isn't there like Woman Warrior in The Road Warrior? And I can spoil The Road Warrior because that movie is ancient.
Okay.
It's so old.
I thought you were going to say awful.
No, it's a fantastic film. Fantastic film. That film was so good. And by the way, people, Fury Road, film of the summer so far. Like for a tent pole, those big giant movies, like the loud, crazy movie. That's the one. So far. I can't judge. You know, I haven't seen Ant-Man.
This is not the spoil. This is not spoilers. This is what the film is. Go, 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 go. What? What? No. Okay. Go. The other way. Go the other way. Go the other way. It's a mistake. Go the, what? What? Go. Just go. The end.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I missed this part.
Yeah.
Boom! Boom! Yeah. Go, 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 go! Boom! Okay, the end.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. From the director of Babe, Pig in the City.
Lorenzo Zoil.
Yeah. Witches of Eastwick.
Witches of Eastwick.
You could not get more diverse, could you? No. If you were like to mention what do all of these films have in common, you would not...
Pigs.
They would all be... Yeah, they're all about pigs.
Yeah.
That's one thing about the spoiler is Mad Max finds a race of sentient pigs and leads them to freedom. That's right.
Don't spoil it.
You saved our bacon, Max. There's a lot of those jokes.
And I get in trouble for saying Perthenol.
When did you say that? In the future?
What? Did I? Can't remember.
Listen, you can still save yourself. I've got a picture of you. What you got to do is go back in time. And make sure that you stay looking exactly the same way for 20 years. Can you do that? Yes, you can. All right, continue.
The dragonfly effect. I don't know what I was saying now.
You were saying you hated Mad Max because too many chicks.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you watch it, you're just thinking to yourself, because I knew this as a kind of a back in my mind sort of thing. And I was thinking, like, people were upset. Like, why?
Because it's the, oh, right, here's the thing.
I know because it's the internet, but still, even though there's the internet, is it always that dumb? Like, is everything
it's
dumb?
It's not real. No,
is
no,
the
no,
entire
no, no,
world
no, no, no,
dumb?
No, you're falling for a shadow. Here's the thing.
I'm falling for a shadow.
You're falling for a shadow and thinking
cry
it's a real
for a shadow?
Thing.
Am I crying for a shadow?
You're not crying for a shadow.
Okay. It's not a Beatles reference?
Listen, it's people that... Stop making Beatles references. We did that podcast. It's people mistaking a shadow for something real. And here's the shadow.
Yeah.
Whenever there is something incredibly popular, I don't care what it is, but let's say people like chocolate bars, and it's like
never
a new thing
of
like everyone loves chocolate bars now. The big trend is chocolate bars. There's got to be someone who will write an article saying chocolate bars really overrated or what, and then everyone clicks on that and goes, what? How can they say such a thing?
Yeah.
So whatever the situation is, if they go like Mad Max, amazing movie for feminism, and this is just like Mad Max, more sexist than you thought it was. What? That's the opposite of what I thought. It's casting a shadow. You've got to like, someone's got to say the opposite to get clicks.
Okay.
And the problem is then those clicks, you know, those come up on your feeds and people in the news when they don't run out of stories at night go, some people are saying that it's a sexist thing and chocolate's not tasty and puppies aren't as cute as they we think they are. Is it true? They're not going to ever say it's true or not. We're just going to present both sides. Because it's fucking filler and it's bullshit and it's all a shadow and it's not real. So fuck off. It's not real. Nothing real.
Yeah, it just felt very odd.
And are there too many podcasts? Yeah, maybe, but who gives a shit? So listen to the ones you want to.
Are there too many podcasts? I don't even know if that was possible. Know.
What's it? No, because there's only the amount that you can fit in your fucking head.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The amount there is.
Only as many as you're interested in. What was I going to say?
You're going to tell me where you get me for my birthday.
I'm...
A sailboat cake.
Yeah. I'm as tired as the next sexist pig about strong female characters in movies. I feel like that has had its day. I'm bored of it. Uh-huh. It's so predictable now that it's dumb.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you just know who's going to be the survivor in any movie that you watch.
Okay, I'm just going to give you this rope. There you go. There you go. Do you need a little bit more of that?
Sure.
All right. Let me tell you a story later about something that happened at Weird Al Karaoke. I think you'll enjoy. Please go ahead. All right. There you go. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right. Remember, the rabbit goes around the hole and then inside. Thank you.
And then I wrap around this part here?
Yeah, and then the load-bearing beam, just throw it over there? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Thank you.
Are you sick of those female characters with strength?
I'm sick of the female characters.
Remember, you're going home to three strong women after.
I feel like it's a trope that's had its time.
Uh-huh.
And then every movie is the same.
How is it a trope?
Well, it's just because, since Alien, it's become like the thing to do in films.
Okay.
You know who is going to survive in any movie that you go to see. There's going to be the female character that's going to survive. Everyone else will die. That's just it, whether you watch Alien or The Thing, the new thing.
No, but
you just kind of know who's going to survive.
Well, that's not true, because like you have something like an Event Horizon. No.
I haven't seen that film.
Oh, okay, so that's fine.
That's a problem.
Well, anything. Like I could name many movies.
But the problem is,
aren't strong females in these films at all. Like it's still a rarity that when you see one, then you go like, well, clearly this person's going to survive.
Yeah.
But because if you care enough to make them an interesting, well-developed character, you probably care, put enough effort into it that they're probably going to survive to the end or some such.
Yeah.
You know? So that makes sense. But I think the majority of movies still have everyone being an idiot and bad and dumb, right? They're still making Vince Vaughn movies. There can't be any strong women in those things, right?
I guess.
That's not an action movie, to be fair.
It's not an action movie. Yeah, I just feel like maybe I'm wrong because this is Expendables. You're probably right. I'm probably just selectively remembering. What do I know?
Apparently, you think there's a trope, though, of these strong women.
Well,
that
I just feel like, since that movie, it's everyone wants that in their film. But I think
that's
understand
a good,
because
the people in good
maybe
movies.
Maybe it is good. I mean, I can understand why they do it, because they want, you know, they feel like those films don't appeal to women the way they do to men. You know, judging by my boss's reaction to Mad Max, this is the case.
What did your boss think?
Two thumbs down.
Okay.
That was her reaction to it, because I didn't like it.
That's fine.
It's too loud.
Yeah, it is loud. Yeah.
Too noisy, too dumb.
Might give you that. I don't know if it's dumb.
It's nonsense. You know, that's fine. If you have a movie with someone named Imperator Furiosa, I'm not going to see it because I think it's going to be like the greatest thing
ever. It's as dumb as a musical.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's got its own rules and it follows the rules. And there you go. Here's the thing that happened at the show. And it's a friend of mine that did it. He was singing to Evenflow.
Yeah.
Right? And so he wrote... He wrote a song called Camel Toe. Okay. Boy. I tell you, now listen, to his credit.
Yeah.
He's a very nice man and a father. To his credit of a daughter, and he's a lovely person. He messed up the lyrics a little bit, so he couldn't really get to the second verse the third verse, which dealt with men and like, I guess, the parallels and, you know, stuff. Never quite got there.
Yeah.
And so when he screwed that up, just saw the audience turn on him real good. But he's very charming, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But it was just like, oh, interesting. Interesting to see that. It was just like, nope, they're not buying it. To the point where like the host, who was very, very slick, came out and she just handled it beautifully. It was just so well. Turned it almost into a one-woman show about feminism. It was just great. It was great how she did it. It was great. It's good stuff. Yeah, it all worked out fine. But boy, howdy, just watching someone just have the audience just on a dime, just like, nope, we're not doing that. Sir, I say boo. Good times.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking about something.
What were you thinking about? How annoyed you were at female leads in TV
shows?
No,
I would. I'm not. I like that, actually. I mean, I watched Mad Men. I just thought, I really couldn't understand what the fuss was.
You had
like,
your daughters watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer back when they were one.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Watch it. I'm sleepy. Watch it. And it, and good for you being able to talk at the age of one.
I taped it and watched it after work. So it was, I watched it like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So
yeah.
They were fine. It was daylight as well. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're still, here's my thing on that. We're still miles from balance on any of that stuff. So, you know, when people swing the pendulum, it's always going to go too far in one direction and it's going to go too far in the other direction. And you're going to go, oh, that's overkill. And it's like, yeah, it's true. But the majority of the times you're still going to get dummies.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're probably, for me, because I'm thinking this critically, I'm probably like, you know, over concentrating. So I'm like ignoring like a million films that talk about five of them. And that's possible too. But I just feel like when it becomes a cliche.
It's a cliche in a horror movie. The woman's going to survive in the horror movie.
Yeah.
And that's definitely turned around. You know, that's definitely the thing, especially since Buffy. That
Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween, I guess.
That's true.
You know, played a strong character.
But it was surprising.
And it was surprising in that film.
Yeah,
right.
It was surprising. You were like, oh, you know, you will see.
But you're also surprised that Ripley survives in Alien.
Right, you have no idea.
That's a surprise, too.
And then every Alien movie since that time, you're like, we know. We get it. We see where you're going with this. This is fine. But like, here's an example. There's a this is one of those, I don't usually believe in so bad it's good, but this one actually is so bad that you can actually watch it as a whoa.
Yeah.
And it's a CSI Cyber.
Okay.
And
I've not bothered.
Who is the woman from Boyhood?
Patricia Arquette.
Patricia Arquette's in it.
I quite enjoy her. I enjoyed the show Medium because she was in that show.
Sure. Anyway, she's horrible in this, and this is everybody. But it's not their fault. It's not their fault.
It's not it's not a good concept.
You watch the beginning.
Yeah.
And the beginning.
Who song they're using for it? I Can See for Miles. Or?
Yes, I think that might be it. Though no one. Oh, isn't there one of the Searcher? It's the Searcher.
Searcher. Yeah.
No one's used that one yet, and that seems to be the obvious one for CSI. Surprising. Yeah. Anyway, so
maybe
so
it's too metaphysical for them.
This one has a 1970s style. I'm going to tell you the plot so you get it off the top. It's not enough to just go CSI Cyber. Yeah, I'm on board. I get what it. No. Shut up. Let me tell you the plot.
Yeah.
And it's Patricia going, you know, I was a psychiatrist. And then, you know, but listen, computers are dangerous. I had all my patients' information on there. And then a cyber hacker came and started killing them.
Is this from the 90s?
And a cyber hacker came and started killing them. And they got all their information. Now I work for a team to bring down the cyber hackers. It could happen to you. Okay, so listen, we've had to do a couple of things. We've
like
made
person
it.
Of interest
we've made it
too.
Personal. One, of course, she's a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of doctor? Psychiatrist. Okay, a lady duck. Okay, we're cool with that. Okay. Well, why is she in charge of this? What's the big deal about her being in charge of this? Well, listen, it's personal with her. Why? Because someone took her information that it was sort of her fault a little bit, like
and
Sandra
some
Bullock
stuff
in
Amazon.
And then that's right, Sandra Bullock on the net, and then killed somebody, and so she's kind of looking for redemption for what she did.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Then a lady can lead this team. Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, it just becomes bananas. You watch the show, like you see. Okay, everyone else in CSI.
Yeah.
Like the initial CSI.
Sure.
They have a lab. Everything's a little blue.
Yeah.
They got maybe one big giant screen. That's unrealistic. Everyone's got a giant screen. You're allowed one screen in your procedural that's unrealistic. We get it.
Yeah.
You know, or our table that you can magically make things happen. I got it. This thing, they've got the SHIELD helicarrier. Like, it's giant screens everywhere.
Yeah.
NASA looks at this and just goes, bit much. You know, just look at this. And these are the cyber terrorism folks.
Yeah.
And they come in and just stand with their hands on their hips and just look up at these things. And there's like one fat guy, and he's the only guy who knows anything. And then there's the guy who is...
Oh, so he's the teller? Because you always have a teller on a show, right? Like, so someone says...
Well, he's kind of the fat joker that people don't really take seriously until he tells what the thing is. And then they're like, okay, now they take him seriously.
Okay.
And then you have...
Because there's always the one, like, the person will say, he was at Hamlet. And then someone will go, that's Shakespeare's play. It was his 15th play that he wrote.
Oh, boy, I hate that shit. Anyway, so, you know what? Just, like, have a little thing at the bottom of the screen come up and go, Shakespeare's play. I'm fine. just show me, man.
Asterisks.
I'm fine.
Asterisks with anything.
And then her partner in this, you know, this guy who's got to be the guy she bounces everything off of, because you need a fairly good actor for this. So they got the guy from Dragon Slayer and Ghostbusters 2. That guy, you know who I'm talking about?
He's a good actor?
Yeah, he's good enough actor for TV.
Those are good.
He was in Numbers as well. That guy.
Okay.
You know.
I don't know who you mean.
Yeah, okay. Did you see Ghostbusters 2?
No, I did not.
Did you see Dragon Slayer?
No.
Its name's Peter something. Okay. Peter McNichol, maybe? Anyway, it's him.
Is he the brother of Christy McNichol?
Let's not even, maybe not. Anyway, so he's that guy. It's like, there used to be a show.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And maybe there still is this show.
Yeah.
But it was a parody of...
Was it about a man and a woman who married and they both had kids and they blended their families together?
Yes.
Brady Bunch.
There you are. And they were in the Old West and they hunted people for sport? Brady Bunch. So
that's true. I remember that episode.
There was a show, and I'm losing the first part of it, but it was like basically San Diego SVU, and it was a parody of all these things, and it was hilarious, and it was so over the top that you just went, they nailed it all. This is more over the top than that. You watch it and just go, are you? Oh, and the other person they have is the guy who is Dawson on Dawson's Creek. He's the handsome bit of business who's in there.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, Jonah Hill. That's right. You know what? You know, it's not going to help me.
I can't remember.
You know, I don't need you to take me out at the fucking knees. I'm having a rough week before my birthday week.
It's your birthday week.
It's not my birthday week yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm having a rough week this week, Dave. Let's be nice to me. Anyway, let me get back to slamming this show. Anyway, it's a horrible piece of shit show. But it's worth watching. Like, listen, CSI, the Vegas one, that's shit too. But you can't, like, you go...
CSI, the Vegas one? I thought that was the good one.
No, it's not great. The CSI, the original, was a good one.
Isn't that the Vegas one?
Then the Vegas... Oh, wait, the Vegas one's the good one. Sorry. Miami is the shit.
Oh, that's terrible.
Was the shitty one.
And then New York was even worse.
And then New York was pretentious, and they'd go down to ground zero and go like, hey, man, remember this? Yeah, boo on you for bringing it up again. But the cyber...
This has been a good show. I have put down strong female characters in movies. You booed 9/11.
That's right. I do boo 9/11. What a show. Check out Dave. He's pro 9/11. He liked it. Hey, Davey. Anyway. But all they need to make CSI Cyber perfect is set it 10 years in the future.
We better go into the future. We better go warn ourselves. Yeah. What we're going to talk about on this show.
Yeah, everyone was getting data jacked in the last one. Like, you go to an airport and you'd plug your thing into recharge. Now you're data jacked and it'd suck all your data. But they were using it to murder people. So, of course, that's the way it always goes.
You know, murder is interesting.
Yeah, it's like someone hacks your Amazon account and they use it for murder.
What they really use it for isn't that interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, how can this all lead to rape and murder?
Mm-hmm.
Though it's more murdery than rape, so at least in that way, it's not as bad as a lot of shows. Anyway, hi, Dave.
It's no SVU.
No, that's a funny show. That was worthwhile. It's a spinoff of Children's Hospital, which is...
SVU. No. Isn't that Special Victims Unit?
Oh, but the SUV is the other one. Oh, God, Dave, I've had a rough week.
You apparently have. Why has it been rough? Can you talk about why it's been rough?
I could talk a little bit about why it's been rough. Why has it been rough? It's been... Okay, this is the kind of week it's been. It's been this kind of week where I've been trying to... We've been waiting on a lot of information on stuff. You know, I've got a couple of projects on the go that are waiting for... Yes.
Okay.
Or more waiting, and it's now a lot more waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been frustrating.
Okay.
And also, my wife is also waiting on that. We're a lot of waiting. So in the meantime, I've had to take work that I'm not exactly super proud of. That I'm not going to say too much about because I'm taking multiple jobs.
You're taking the money.
I'm taking the money, right?
So you can't criticize it.
Which I wouldn't mind. I don't mind the taking the money and I don't mind the doing the work.
Yeah.
What I don't like, because I don't like lying, we've discussed lying in the past, is a lot of meetings with people who are going, this is hilarious. The stuff you're doing is great.
Yeah.
And how about this thing? And how about this thing? And it's like, I don't want to say to them that your ideas are awful. This is terrible. And if I could in any way remove my name from this... That would be fantastic, but I have rent to pay while I wait for the thing that I want to happen.
Yeah.
So I've got to be on a fucking phone meeting. And again, first of all, I hate the phone. I hate the phone.
Sure, you're waiting for holograms.
And I've had to do a lot of phone meetings.
Yeah.
And every one of the phone meetings is this. We're just waiting for Steve to get on the line. We've got to wait for Steve. Oh, so what do you think of the show? Oh, I think it's, I can see. It's, you know, it's ripe for, you know, it's a good time for a show like this. Yeah, we're trying to get Steve on the, I think we got Steve. Steve, can you hear me? I got Ian on here. There he is. Okay, and now I've got a guy live next to me, right? Because I've come live to the meeting.
Yeah.
And this guy has decided to pretend that we can hear them. And I'm like, no, man, you've got to say. I can't. So now we're just like, Yeah, now we're both lying to this. And occasionally I'm like,
so what do you think of that guy?
Oh, I could see how that would be good.
I agree with that. You can just make that change. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to make those changes.
I'm
from out. Talk next week. The worst.
I hope you get emails of the minutes.
Oh, the emails I get are this. The emails I get are full of like everyone saying something and then no discussion as to how these contrasting bits of information should be interpreted. Right? So I get like six people writing me, all with radically different opinions, all starting with this. Love it. Couldn't be better. Okay, we can't use the hat, but we can use the dog. Next one. Really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. We can't use the dog. More hats. And so on. And it's like, who's in charge? What's going on? I don't know. So there's that. So business-wise, I've been doing a lot of that.
A lot of pussyfooting.
Right. And then yesterday, and this one gets a little sad, but yesterday I don't often answer the phone directly, but like I call a cab and me and my wife are waiting for a cab to go do something. And then I see the cab's called, and what happens when the cab calls, it's a robot.
Yeah.
So what I do is I swipe and it's like, and then I just, I shut it off immediately because it's a robot. Yeah. Because otherwise I'm going, hello, I'm a robot. Okay. So I don't need to talk to a robot.
Yeah.
So I do the swipe and put it down, and we're waiting for, and I get another call from it. I'm like, oh, they're probably lost. So I pick up the phone, and it's my mom, who I haven't talked to in basically 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, because those of you that have not listened to the show before, she's with a fella who was kind of cut her off from the family.
Yeah.
And my last time talking to her, she had called me from a mall and was, she was kind of, she was in tears, and she was, you know, wanting us to, the family to be together, but, you know, was trying to tell me how much she, anyway, so it's really sad last
time. Yeah.
So she's there, and she's back from a trip. They go on long, long trips. They go on trips for months at a time, cruises.
Yeah.
Which for him works, because then they don't have to be in contact with friends or family or anything. And so those issues melt away. So yeah, it's another one of these where it's me talking to her, and it's her with this just high, weakened voice that, you know, I'm just listening to her, right?
Yeah.
Because that's all I can do. Yeah. I can't offer any information. I can't go, you know, I am saying to her, you know, I'll be there in a heartbeat if you need me. I'll meet you anywhere. You know, we're here for you. You know my number. You know, all those things. But yeah. I know that's not going to change for her, because she's still in it, right? She's still in the equivalent of the cult.
Yeah.
You know, he's gotten her diet down to such a point where she's just incredibly skinny. Her friends are very, very worried about her. And that's the way this kind of thing works. He's cut her off from everybody except people that completely toe the line, you know, with him. And so, yeah, I just listened to her for about 3 minutes, basically just telling me that she loved me. And she sent me a birthday card. She said that. And we've had a conflict online. This was the last kind of contact we had, which was, he kept calling himself dad, and all my other siblings and me have said, don't call yourself dad. If you can call yourself stepdad if you have to, but we'd prefer to call you Norm. You're not our dad. We've had one dad, you know, and that's not you, and it's not appropriate. And his thing is, well, we're married, so I'm your dad now. So that's the way it is. And if you don't like it, then we can, you know, we love you, but that's it. We're going to have to cut you off. That's love.
Such love.
That's nice love. You know, it's all about that. So she said, we've sent you a card, and it says stepdad. It's from stepdad. You know, it's like she's meeting my demands. I'm like, and there's another letter in there, and it's from me, and that's a secret. That's between you and me. So just letting you know that I love you, and it's coming, and just letting you know. And I say that we haven't had any contact, but she did mail me a couple of journal pages that she wrote like a couple of months ago about like how her and my dad met and what their relationship was like, and trying to tell me a bit of that.
Yeah.
And saying that she was sending these after midnight. Basically, she was writing these when he was asleep. It's like she's sneaking fucking notes out from a fucking camp.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, she said, this is coming. And she was calling from, but that's between you and me, so she can't know. And I was saying to her, well, you know, secrets are never healthy and this kind of thing. So just know that it's never, you know, why do you have to have secrets? Just think about that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know. But I really love him. And I just want you to know I really love him. I'm like, okay, no, I know you do. I understand. But I love you guys too. And I want to be with you guys too. And I want the family to be together. And it's like, okay, well, we can talk about that. You know, I'm open to it. And again, anytime you need me, you let me know. I'm there. You know, I can meet you anywhere for lunch or coffee or anything. And she went, okay. Well, I don't want to say where she was calling from, but she was calling from a location that had a payphone. And, you know, and I got to go now because that's basically all the time she has before she can get home. She went, you know, on an errand. And So he let her go on an errand. And yeah. So anyway, that was my thing on that. And that's kind of messed me up for the last little while as well. Wow. You know, because it's like, it's hard to, fuck. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Yeah.
You know, so
you've tried so many ways.
Tried so many ways with the family, but she does not want to, like, her point, she will not move beyond the point of like leaving the guy. Mm-hmm. So without leaving the guy, there's nothing there unless for some reason they both want to get together and talk. But even so, the things he's said to me, I can tell psychologically he's doing the thing where, you know, and this is a weird example, but like you can hang up on the phone. Like if you're, say, a customer service person and someone says fuck to you, you go, well, sir, I don't have to listen to this. But up until that point, they can't hang up on you.
Yeah.
Right. So what he's trying to do, I feel like, is he's trying to make me blow up so that he can go, well, Ian blew up, you know, and so what are we going to do? So every time I have a message, there's something that's particularly a dig, like a personal dig.
Yeah.
There's always something about me personally, whether I don't have kids or my weight or something personal and mean is like slipped into there that I can tell he's trying to get a spark hit. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to play that.
Yeah, it's that. And it's also a way to control people.
Oh, it's completely. Kind of stuff, he's 100% controlling and he's as obvious as an elephant, you know, but... Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a reason that so many people fall into relationships like this, and because this kind of shit works. You know, this kind of control works. There's people that will go for this kind of thing. There's a lot of romance off the top, and then you cut off everyone else, and then what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You're going to give this up, this thing that you're addicted to right now? For better or worse, you're going to give this up, and he's locked it down with a marriage that was, you know, a marriage that, you know, they snuck off and got married without any of us knowing.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's he's locked it down and he knows what he's doing with this kind of bullshit. So, yeah, I thought pretty much that we were done. Like, I thought I'm not going to hear from her again, probably in my life. And it was really kind of heartbreaking. And when my other sister moved recently to Calgary, she said she was going to see her before she left.
Yeah.
Made a big deal out of that. And then she didn't. And so that kind of broke my sister's heart on there too. But we all just went, well, I guess that's what it is. And we're not going to anymore. And now it's weird. It's weird, these reach outs. I don't know really what to do with them, but I'll read the letter and see what's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted as much as you feel comfortable.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
I don't want you to.
When we started this podcast, you know, other people have asked, you know, what this podcast is about. And, you know, for all the goofy magoofs in the first half in my time travel adventures. Fuck, I should have used that time travel thing to warrant. Ah, damn it. Anyway, you know, I always said, like, I want to, on this show, tell the truth whenever possible. So I'm fine with opening this kind of thing up, you know, and, you know, I'm also semi open to hearing other people's experiences. You know, if you've been through similar things, a lot of people have, you know, so blah, 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 blah. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, let's tangent one more time.
Okay. Who's your favorite Peanuts character?
Oh, come on. Linus.
Schroeder.
Really? Schroeder's your favorite?
Actually, I do like Schroeder now that I'm thinking about it.
I like Linus a lot.
You know what? I like the guy because he's a bit of an introvert, gets his art done. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of likes him. He still is involved in sports.
Sure. He's a back catcher.
He's a very good back catcher. Yeah. You know, he goes out to social events. He's invited to Thanksgiving dinners. But for the most part.
That involve popcorn.
And you know what? He gets the ladies.
He does get a lady.
Yeah, he gets a strong female character.
He sure does. It's the strongest.
Oh, well, actually, I think Peppermint Patty.
Some might say overbearing. I don't think Peppermint Patty is quite as overbearing as Lisa.
Not overbearing, but I'd say in terms of eternal strength.
Yeah, well, that's... Well, have you seen her in school?
Let me tell you, you never get any conflict there between Lucy and Peppermint Patty, frankly.
No, you don't.
They don't get a lot of scenes together.
No, that's interesting. You're right, because they're the same person. Your eyebrows just did this crazy thing.
I was actually thinking something the other day about Peppermint Patty and why I would be bitter if I was her. Because Peppermint Patty...
Why you would be better or bitter?
Bitter.
Oh, bitter.
Because here's the thing. Yeah. Peppermint Patty shows up in town.
Yeah.
And so, and everyone goes, hey, you're the new girl in town. And she was. She was the new girl.
Yeah.
And they went, what's your name? Patty. And they go, well, look, we have a Patty. There's a Patty already in town. Oh, but my name's Patty. Okay. Well, can you just call us both Patty? No. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to think of another thing to put in front of you. Well, my last name is... We don't give a shit. We're gonna call you something Patty. You know, what? I don't know. Hey, how about Peppermint Patty? Like it. That's great. No, I don't want to be Peppermint Patty. Okay, then you'd be Cow Patty. Okay, fuck, I'll be Peppermint Patty. All right. And so she was always a little bit bitter.
Is that exactly what happened?
That was completely...
Are you just making that up?
I'm just completely making that story up. But they had two patties.
They did have two patties.
So the other patty was
phased out.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You know who phased her out? A very angry Peppermint Patty who placed a little bit of drugs in her locker.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, Patty's getting a little knock on the door from the cops.
Mm.
And when that happens, Peppermint Patty goes, hey, why don't you just call me Patty now? Nah, we're used to you calling you Peppermint Patty. You're going to be Peppermint Patty the rest of your fucking life. And then she goes, shit.
Yeah.
I put her in jail for nothing.
I impressed everybody with my Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but it's interesting that you did. And I will still stick by Linus. You know, when I was a kid, I would have said Snoopy, but I feel that Snoopy, like, was one of those characters that took over the strip and became very dull.
He was the Fonzie.
He just became dull.
Yeah.
Too much. Too much Snoopy. Too powerful.
Now you're Joe Cool.
Yeah.
Now you're World War One flying ace.
That was okay.
It's okay. You know what's okay? It's okay once. It's okay twice. It's weird. I'm all for it. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird that you have a Van Gogh.
I love that.
I love it too. Don't mention it more than once. It's very cool.
That's true.
Now what else are you? Joe Cool. All right. What? And you're back to being Joe Cool? And now you're back to being the ace.
Yeah. No, there's some limits. I mean, I like when he was a vulture in the tree. Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that was good.
That's good.
Yeah. Too much.
Do you remember when Linus was a maniac?
For what?
No, that's it. There was a week where Linus was, I'm going to be a maniac. I'm going to be maniacal. And then in one episode, he's got crazy eyes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they go, what are you? And it's like, I'm a wide-eyed maniac. It's great.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I might remember that, but it's not ringing any bells, but it seems sort of familiar, but interesting. No, I was good. We brought it up in partway through the show, and I thought we should maybe talk about it because I don't want to leave the overflowing bathtub sitting there. So.
Oh, there's a reference to our Totally Tin Can podcast.
It's a reference
out
to a movie.
In a couple of days.
Did we talk about this on the show one time?
Tell me.
Well, there's a movie. I'm not too
context,
sure.
Context, please.
I'm not too sure what the film is called. It's a movie starring Edward G. Robinson. And he played
Is it called Meh?
Yeah, see? And he played two roles in the film.
He actually had a movie called Meh, see?
And he played two roles in this movie. He played a timid bank clerk.
Right.
And then a notorious gangster.
Okay.
And they looked alike. They talked alike. But
you could lose your mind when he's Edward. Mashing. And they both talk with that same voice.
That's the thing. That's exactly right. So you want to make a deposit, eh? Wow. We don't take a kind here at this bank, see? Hit the road. No.
Yeah, what kind of note's that? It's a C note, see? Yeah, see?
I see it, see?
So did the gangster try to rob the bank?
I can't remember the whole comment, but the point of it is this.
Okay,
there's a scene at the beginning of the film where the timid bank clerk sleeps in, and then he has a rushed morning to get out. He has to eat quickly. He lives by himself in that apartment.
Of course he does.
Because he's a timid bank clerk.
He's too timid to
He is too timid. Him. That's right. Yeah. So he can't even go up to a woman and say, yeah, she, you're mine, yeah. So then he's rushing around, and he starts the bath.
Right.
He starts the bath. He's filling the bath. He's having his breakfast. He's getting dressed. And then he runs out of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But there's this weird cut to the bathtub overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
You never see the bathtub again in the entire film. And the whole time, you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what's going on with that bathtub. Like, it's got to pay off, right?
Because
they go back to his apartment. At some point in the film, they do go back to his apartment. So you're thinking, now it is the one of the criminals, because he's like, now he's, you know, in this criminal gang and he's kind of trapped. Now, was one of the criminals going to open the door to the bathroom and all the water is going to pour out and that's going to give him an opportunity to escape? Because that would be great. That would be a fantastic scene to see. Nope. Is he going to come back and his landlord's going to be pissed off at him? Because three different floors were damaged by water pouring down? Nope. No mention. No one says. It's never brought up again in the entire film. So ever since that point, I always talk about the overflowing bathtub as something I don't like in a movie because I don't like when there's a sequence in a film that doesn't pay off. You know, like if you bring up the fact that you have an overflowing bathtub and you cut to it, you specifically cut to that scene. Like the editor took a snippet of film and physically taped it into the movie to show you the overflowing bathtub. Why the fuck wouldn't you have more about the overflowing bathtub? But never again.
That's a good point.
I hated it. So anyway.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So I'm saying that a lot. it feels like I'm doing a plug for Alec, what's his name, Baldwin's podcast, which is called Here's the Thing. By the way, that...
Alec Baldwin?
He's got a podcast called Here's the Thing.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
All right.
Here's the best episode, the Jerry Seinfeld one.
Okay.
If you want to talk about someone, like when you talk about someone who's got, he's basically got $800 million. If you want to talk about someone who's got a lot of money and still lives life in an interesting way, that's a good guy to...
Okay.
Yeah. He'll talks about splashing water on his face. Every morning to wake up. Like, he doesn't like slowly waking up. He likes waking up quick.
Yeah.
In the bathroom. Cold water in the face because he saw Jackie Gleason do it in The Hustler.
Okay.
And we're like, yeah, that's how you do it. There you wake up and you do that. And then he goes about his bowl of oatmeal and going about his business. It's interesting.
He's a little OCD, so I'm sure that a lot of stuff he does is very repetitive.
I think it's not just OCD. I think it's like he talks about it too. He knows how messed up he is, but he's channeled it in a way where he's fine and healthy because everything that he's done that messes him up makes money and does well and is liked by people, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So he's okay.
Yeah.
And he seems like one of the most well-adjusted people when you hear him talking, which I'm sure he isn't. Like, there was a thing on this week's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Okay.
Where Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in the car with him. And at one point he asks, yeah, it's good. At one point he asks her, you know, you think I'm nice? And it's like, I think you can be nice. And I was like, that's true. There we go.
There's some truth.
True, yeah,
wow.
Interesting.
Wow, that's harsh. Right. That's harsh.
It is harsh. Wow. Well, Hitler could be nice.
Exactly.
And then she doesn't say anything. And there you go.
So we brought up Strip Search earlier in the show. And
sure.
I didn't want to leave the overflowing bathtub. You made me watch it.
Right. Now, Strip
Search. You told me it was the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. If I didn't watch
it, you're memorizing
it. I was
an
idiot.
No? Okay. Here's what Strip Search is. It's a web series.
Yeah.
It's done by the gentleman who do a comic strip called Penny Arcade.
A web comic.
That's right. They also do, of course, the Penny Arcade Expo. And their web comic has spun off into, so much. Crazy. So this series was a reality show with cartoonists, many of them web cartoonists. I think all web cartoonists.
I believe that was the point of it.
And then at the end of it, they're going to give a web cartoonist a web cartoon, something. They're going to give them something.
I think they get some position in the Penny Arcade Empire.
Some business. Yeah, there you go. So they had a whole bunch of wide variety of cartoonists and all quite good cartoonists. If you go and see like all their cartoons, it's really good stuff.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, they have to like vote someone off at the end. I don't care for that.
No.
But along the way, the things I liked were they do stuff like, they wouldn't have super stupid competitions. They would have competitions like this, where like, first of all, we're going to show you how to at a con set up your table to
I'm still waiting for that episode. I haven't found that.
All right, I'll try and find you that one. To set up your table at a con to demonstrate your work and then the best person wins it, and then someone who doesn't, and there you go. But you learn important things as a cartoonist as you go along. There's a lot of that stuff.
No, that sounds interesting to me.
So what did you think?
Well, I mean, it took me a couple tries to watch it because I don't like reality shows. So the kind of cliches of them really bother me. So I particularly don't like the interviews that are peppered in between segments.
I fast forward past all that nonsense.
Yeah, it just really bothers me.
Get to the meat.
In fact, I don't even like the competitions. I just go past that part of it.
Sure.
And I just
I like seeing the end cartoon. Well, they always end with two people who might be voted out. They have to pick up crumpled papers from failed ideas.
So-called.
So it's like a unicorn and Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And now you got to do a comic about it.
Yeah.
I always go right to, let's see the cartoons they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't mind watching that part of it. What I don't like about those shows is I don't like the so-called honest minutes where they're interviewing them to try to point out plot things that came out during the show. And so they have these pointed interviews where people... I just don't like all that. So I don't like competitions. I don't like that part of it. But what I like is what you're talking about. I like when they're talking about like being interviewed, branding yourself, all those sort of things. That's interesting to me. So I look for that. And then I accidentally, because I just sort of watched all of one episode, I watched the whatever it's called. Like they have the sort of two cartoonists dueling with each other, right. like both drawing. And I actually didn't mind that. I actually kind of enjoyed watching these people working and talking about what they're doing and stuff like that. I didn't mind that. So I don't mind watching the elimination part. Yeah, that's what it's called. I know that the two creators of Penny Arcade tease them and stuff during it. But
with a lot of filler business.
And a lot of filler, but they're very...
What do you think is his worst characteristic? What do you think of your competitor smells like? What do you think? You know, that
it's not really like that so much, but it's more.
It feels like they don't want to do it either. Like no. the Penny Arcade guys are like, when they have to finally vote someone off, they feel like shit. And then, but then they are very nice with the person, breaking it down what happened and like, don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't in any way give up. This is just a dumb reality show.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a bit of me that feels like I wish with the amount of power those guys had, they could somehow find a way of doing this without this stupid conceit.
Well, even they say that, you know, they say, we wish, in the very first episode, they say, we wish we didn't have to do this. Like, we wish we could just get to this part and just do this.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I guess they felt like it had to have that format to be appealing or something.
Yeah,
but,
that's the gimmick.
But I'm not a fan of those kind of shows. Partly because once you've seen them, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
And you can never recapture what's interesting about one of those shows. So something like Strip Search, you know, never do it again. You know, you did it once. That's the best one. You're never going to.
I don't know if they did do it again. I'm good. Not sure.
They don't need to.
It's like, I liked whatever the Best Nerd or whatever that one was. The first time they did it. Yeah, it was all good until the last episode where the person who shouldn't have won, and it was like, boo. But up at that point, it did things.
Don't make it personal.
It did make things right. It did things right. The kind of challenges were actually, oh, that's an intelligence challenge, and that's interesting. And, oh, this is creative, and yeah, okay. And this is showing nerds in an interesting way. Okay, this is as good as this kind of thing could get.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think there's a show, Canada's Worst Driver, here in that if maybe I'm getting it wrong, but I think the way they do it is they vote off at the end the best driver.
Yes.
Because, yeah, and I like that. Like, I like the idea that...
You get your license back and you get to leave.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you're leaving for good reasons. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And the other conceit I like behind that show is we're trying to teach you how to be a good driver. So by the end of this, you'll come out... Everyone's going to come out better than they were before.
Yeah.
That I'm fine with.
Yeah, or at least learn something about not talking on your phone when you're driving.
Yeah, or how to drive safe with a fish tank on your roof, which seems to be the big thing that they had there.
It's the best part of the show.
Yeah, they have a fish tank full of water on an open roof, and so you've got to like drive, and if you stop too quickly, you get splashed with ice cold water, as does your friend.
Yeah, it's not even a fish tank because it has a sloping front, so the water more efficiently washes up over the edge of it and splashes down.
Yeah, and then everyone screams, and it's a good time.
But
and for some reason, ladies still wear the white shirts during that.
I don't know what they're thinking about. The best one was the lady who was wearing a mascara that wasn't waterproof.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
It is an interesting show because they tried it in the States and it did not work there because too aggressive.
Well, they want to win in the States. Yeah. It's about winning. Whereas in Canada, it's about getting better.
Yeah.
That's our mindset. It's just like, oh, we're all in this together. Oh, you did it, eh? Yeah. Good for you. Get out of here. Where in America, it's win. Yeah, and it's not we're all in it together.
And it's interesting.
I say that as a stereotype.
Now, yes, you did say
to my friend who is American.
That's true. And I fell for it because I'm American. Suckers. Isn't that what our reputation is in the world?
Suckers?
Suckers?
Yeah, but you get an even break.
It's true enough.
No, never. You never get one.
Oh.
We shouldn't give you one.
It's all going to change now, is it?
Yeah, it's fine. Shit. Sorry, I've been giving you an even break this whole time.
I know.
I really apologize.
It's going to suck now. Yeah, it's an interesting show because one is you're willingly putting yourself into a situation where you're going to look bad. Like, that show is pretty much designed to make you look bad.
Right.
Like, you're doing things that I could not do, some of the stuff they do in that show.
And it makes
and I've been driving for a long time.
Friend look terrible. Because usually for the friend is usually... No, the friend is with you.
Yeah.
And the friend is usually, watch it! Watch out for the curb! And you're like, well, your problem is your friend is terrible and you shouldn't drive with your friend.
That's often the case. Yeah. That's true. Not always, but sometimes.
Henry!
Yeah, there's often the overbearing husband. Yeah, that can't stop directing their spouse to do this or that.
And she's so shaky because my husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're dropping ice cold water on both of them. Is that nice?
That's
nice. I don't know. Anyway,
is that even nice?
It seems good-natured.
Here's a complicated route with hubcap or, you know, rims piled on top of each other that you have to back down in a car. Okay. Yeah, we know you're a bad driver. Start backing down that. And don't get flustered, because I know we have cameras on you. totally natural situation.
Yeah.
That's not going to make you nervous, is it? Us watching you do this. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's harsh. I don't know if it's good. I have watched that show quite often because it seems strangely that it renews itself. It doesn't get the point where, like, you feel like on Survivor that, like, everyone has like 5 years of weightlifting to do before they do the show. So they're like more than ready for it.
Yeah.
It's not like a bunch of slobs.
It feels like they've been waiting for this their whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but this show, it just feels like there's some poor schlubs that, oh, take a drink, everybody.
Sure.
What is it? Let's see. What do we got here? Maybe it's not going past us.
Oh, it's the Ghostbusters. That's the Ghostbusters.
It was a ghost car, an SUV ghost car.
Yeah, it's a Ghostbusters.
Oh, it's Ghostbusters. Yeah, that's what they drive now? Is an SUV?
Yeah, they bus people.
Oh, they bus people around.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
They bus ghosts from here to there.
Yeah, that's as good as this.
Did I say ghosts? Let's stop the show now.
Let's start wrapping up. Yeah, anyway, you might be asking, where do I complain about this episode? Well, let me tell you. SneakyDragon.com is our website. That is where you can go to complain underneath every one of our episodes.
Of the show today.
You will not. You're too procrastinating. Unless Lisa says stop procrastinating and start editing the show, you are not going to be doing it. But you know what you're going to have is a very well-vacuumed living room. So, Sneaky
Dragon. Don't worry, I have two
Let
dogs.
Me say the website.
Sorry.
I need a clean edit here. SneakyDragon.com is our website. Underneath our episodes, message board. Please write us. We enjoy hearing from you.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook.
Don't write this episode.
Okay. Sneaky Dragon is also on Facebook. We're also Sneaky_Dragon on Twitter. And we are SneakyD at SneakyDragon.com. If you don't like our voices but think you would like to wear merchandise that advertises our show, we have a way for you to do that. And that is at the SneakyDragon.com website. We have a store. Why not go there? Get a shirt. If you get a shirt, we will throw in extra things like buttons and comics and whatnot. It's fun when you open up the envelope and you go, buttons, this is great. And then your cat comes and eats one of the buttons and you got to take it to the vet and it's expensive. That's not our problem. Why'd you open it around your cat? That was dumb of you. Stop it. Open it up on a counter or something. What's wrong? Stop it. Why do we cover the buttons in catnip? Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we hate cats. Anyway,
the worst ad ever.
Anyway, go look at David's shirts. They're all designs. Every week, Dave does a title card based on what we talk about this episode.
That's true.
This episode, it will just be a little pile of poo. but other weeks, it's something good. And he puts those on shirts, and they're beautiful shirts, and maybe you'd like to wear one.
I'm going to have a strong female shirt this time.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So we could combine them and have a strong female shit if you wanted. So, how is that offensive, everybody?
Yep. You said it, not me.
Dude, I'm so sorry about everything.
All I said was personal.
I could not be. I don't remember that. That's from the future. That's our Christmas episode. Also, I shouldn't even say this time. If you feel like reviewing the show, you can go on iTunes and review the show. It helps people to find our show. Maybe you shouldn't this time. Maybe let's all just cut each other some slack. But yeah, we do enjoy hearing from you. And now I'm going to turn this over to David to really just bury this thing deep. Go, bury it.
Everybody, I just want to apologize for this week's show.
I apologize more. This is Canada's best apology. All right. Oh, geez. I'm so sorry. I can't apologize more for this guy.
Even though we time traveled.
I'm so sorry we didn't use time travel to kill Hitler. We should have used it for that.
There's so many things you could do with time travel.
I'm so terribly sorry.
We only had one time. It was a one-time only thing.
I just can't. I'm so sorry.
You do the first thing that you think of.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Of the moment.
I'm sorry Dave's apology is going so long.
And you find yourself going back to your own show to remind yourself not to do something.
I'm sorry we used all our A material on our Tintin podcast and just had nothing for this. I'm so sorry we went past 100 episodes. We should have just wrapped it up. This is a young man's game, and I got a birthday coming up. I'm telling you, I'm not getting any older, and I'm not getting any younger. I'm staying the same age I always am. I've become immortal. What? What's that glowing white light? Come towards you. Okay, Dave, I gotta go.
So
hello, is that Joseph Stalin? Hey, Joseph.
Joseph Stalin. I was gonna say Joseph Stalin. I don't think you're going the right direction. Oh well. So Ian's gone. I guess he's not gonna have a birthday week. I hope everyone enjoys the show, and we'll see you next week. We can't promise that.
Dave, all religions were wrong.
Okay, let's give a moment of silence for peace on earth.